like to welcome you to the first day of our seminar and the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And very soon, our devotee will bring some papers for you to study. And when they arrive, then I'll explain what they are. There are some verses which are prayers taken from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And some of the verses you will be saying along with me, and some I will be saying myself. And also we have a chart of all the verses, and I'll explain that to you when it comes. And we'll have a few prayers. So I'll just offer a few prayers before I start. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langhete girim yakipam tamam vande shigurum tinutavinam om agyanati mirandasya gananshara sharakaya chakshuritam yena tasamai shigurave namah. So the subject of our seminar is Nrisingadev's prayers. Are you all aware of who is Lord Nrisingadev? Do you know? You new people here, you know Nrisingadev? Yes, you know? No. Anyway, he's the incarnation of a lion, half man, half lion, incarnation of the Lord. He came to protect his devotee who was only 5 years old. The child was being tortured by his father because he was a devotee, and his father did not accept that he was a devotee. He wanted the child to worship him instead of Krishna. And so he tried to kill him in so many ways. Although he was his child, he threw him off a mountain and he was saved by Krishna. He put him in boiling oil and he didn't feel anything. He gave him poison to eat. So many ways he tried to kill him, but nothing worked. So finally he took out his sword and said, okay, now I'm going to cut your head off from your body and let me see your Lord save you now. So at that point, from the pillar, and he struck the pillar of his palace, he said, is your Lord in this pillar? And out from the pillar came this half lion, half man incarnation, and they had a big fight, and Hiranyakashipu was killed. He was the father of Prahlad. So the Lord comes to save his devotees, and after killing this Hiranyakashipu, not only was he giving trouble to his own son, but to everyone in the universe. He was giving even to the demigods. So everyone was very happy when he was killed. But the Lord was very angry, and nobody could pacify him. All the demigods, they came to offer prayers. It was their Lord, but he was still roaring with anger, and they could not make him stop. So, although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. So Prahlad was like a lion cub, and Nrisinga, the lion incarnation, was like his father, his real father, and he's very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So all the demigods were afraid to come in front of Nrisingadev, and even the wife, Lakshmi, was afraid because she never saw her husband in such an angry mood and in such a fearsome form. So she was afraid to come also because she's very chaste and she thought, well, maybe it's not my husband. So I don't think I should try myself. So then the head of the demigods, Lord Brahma, pushed the little boy Prahlad in front and said, it's between you and your father, so you have to cool him down. We can't do it. We can't manage to do this. So when Lord Nrisingadev saw the small boy prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became so affectionate. He gave up his anger and he took Prahlad and put his hand on the boy's head. And this hand of the Lord on our head is to create fearlessness in the devotees. When we are in trouble, then we also sing these names of Nrisingadev and all the danger is finished. Sometimes the airplane is rocking or sometimes people are coming to attack us and we just chant Nrisingadev's name and we are saved. So it's a nice prayer. We sing it after every aarti, and if you learn that, then you will be protected in all circumstances. So today's seminar and the next 2 days will be about the prayers of Prahlad and how he pacified the Lord. So the first thing is, when you take shelter of this incarnation of Nrisimhadev, you become fearless. One time, a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, that what does it mean to be liberated? So Srila Prabhupada said, liberation means to be fearless. Because nobody is fearless in this world. Even sometimes atheists would challenge Srila Prabhupada and say, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of death. I am God. So then one time somebody challenged Prabhupada like that, and Prabhupada said to him, so do you cross the street on the green light? And he said, yes. He said, then you're afraid of death. Otherwise you will cross on the red signal. If you cross on the red signal, that means you're not afraid of death. So it's a very simple test to see if we're God or not. God will not be afraid because he has a spiritual body, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So it's described that Lord Nrisimhadev, when he saw this little boy in front of him, he started licking him just like a lioness licks her cub. And he was so affectionate to him. So this is a very special story. And those of you who are new, it'll be something very interesting for you and something different. And we sing every day to Lord Nrisimhadev, Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Shinga. And what that means is that you have a lotus-like hand, but at the same time, in your hand, there's some very sharp nails. So for the devotee, the hand is like a lotus flower. And when he put his hand on Prahlad's head, Prahlad felt a very sweet, gentle, soft, calming touch. But his father felt the nails. The nails were on his father's abdomen. So if you try to hurt the devotees, then you will feel the nails of Lord Nrisimhadev on your chest. And if you serve Krishna, if you surrender, then you will feel the lotus of his hand on your head. So this is very extraordinary, that how one hand could be like a lotus and sharp at the same time. When I was in Melbourne just now, they offered some lotus flowers to my Giriraj Shila. Very soft and very sweet. So just imagine if there were some nails in those lotus, it wouldn't be the same. But for the devotees, we have the lotus. Now, I'm going to start with the prayers. You don't have them yet. And hopefully they will come soon from the office. After they come, then you will have this chart to follow along with it. And also the prayers. The first one I will say, so you don't need it. And the first prayer explains his humility. The devotee is very humble always. And in order to get knowledge, you need to have humility. Because if you think you know everything, then you won't hear anything. You cannot hear properly if you think, I know everything. So humility is important just to get knowledge. So I'm going to read the first prayer to you. How is it possible for me, Prahlad, the 5-year-old boy is speaking, who have been born in a family of demons, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. And what is to be said of me? I'm not at all qualified. Okay, here I see some papers coming, just in time. So Prahlad's point is that there are two types of people in this universe. Now this is one of them, yeah? Okay. So the one you've got, okay, like this. This is a chart. Oh, you've got them in all together, three, okay. And then for the ladies, yeah. You've got all three different things. Okay, see the one that looks like this? That's a chart. And it's got a number on the left side, and that's the number of the verse that we're on. Right now we're on number 8. It's the first at the top. And humility is the topic. So as we go from one verse to the other, then we'll change topics. Thank you. So Prahlad was very humble because he felt that I'm not born in a very elevated family. These demigods, they are like rulers of this universe. They're giving us the heat, they're giving us the sunlight, they're giving us the rain, they're giving us air, they're giving us so many things. They're controllers of the universe. And I'm just born of a very violent father. So how am I qualified to approach the Supreme Lord? Sometimes we may feel unqualified. How can I give prayers to the Lord? I don't have any good qualities. So everybody else failed. And he wasn't proud. He wasn't saying, oh, just see, all these other people, they couldn't satisfy you. No, I'll do it. I'll do the job. So in this world, everybody has this, they want to be a hero. They want to be heroic. And so, and with that goes pride in many times. So, but Prahlad didn't have this pride. He was very humble. So in the next verse, 9, you can see on your paper, 9, 10, 11, 12, it's basically about confidence and why we should be confident that we can approach the Lord, that we do have the qualification. So this verse 9 explains why we should be confident, because the Lord is not looking for our material things to take it from us. So I'll read the verse, you don't have it. One may possess wealth, aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. So we see in this world, there are people who have money, and they feel that with this money, I can control. There are people who are in a very high family, and they feel, oh, I have an aristocratic family, so therefore I have power. Some people are beautiful, and they, by their beauty, they control others. Some have austerity. In the Himalayas, these yogis, some have knowledge, some are strong, some are have influence, and some are intelligent or have mystic powers. But none of this attracts the Lord because he has everything. Only one thing he wants, and that is our love. If we have love for him, then he will be attracted to us. So the devotees, they have this love for Krishna and they can attract Krishna. Now, who is this Gajendra who he's talking about here in this verse? Gajendra was an elephant. Now, and even an elephant can please the Lord, because in his last life, he was a human being, and he was offering prayers, and when he got his elephant body, he got into deep trouble. A crocodile had hold of his foot in a lake, and he remembered the prayers, even though he was an elephant, and he was able to satisfy the Lord. If any of you have heard the Ramayana, Lord Ram, he was served by an army of monkeys. So even monkeys can satisfy the Lord. And when I was in Vrindavan, I saw even birds, the pigeons in the temple, they would come and you have these huge, huge doors, not like here, they're wooden doors. And every day they will throw flowers on the deities, like here, throw flowers. And there were some flowers stuck on the door, so the birds were landing on the door and knocking all the flowers off. So they were cleaning the top of the doors where we couldn't reach. So we may think we're not qualified, but actually even the animals can please Krishna with their devotional service. There was one dog in America, in Florida, and this dog used to every night take the cows home. He would take the lead cow, he would take the string, the rope, and take the cow home, all the cows, he would lead them home. So even an animal can serve and please the Lord. And Prahlad is telling us that we should have confidence that we can please the Lord no matter what position we are in. So now the next verse. So you don't have, okay, you need, he needs, okay, we need to get some for him. Maybe from the office you can get some. Oh, you have an extra? Okay, you can give him. So here we have the verses on the left, the numbers, and on the right is the topic. We're going now to verse 10, that even a dog eater who's a devotee is better than a non-devotee, Brahmana, who is, oh, you also needed copies too, okay, who is chanting Hare Krishna. So this verse, you can sing with me. You have another sheet here of prayers, of the verses, and it's the first verse, number 10. So I will sing one line, and then you can repeat after me. Vipratisha gunayuta radavindanava. Vipratisha gunayuta radavindanava. Pararavinda vimukasha pacham varistham. Pararavinda vimukasha pacham varistham. Manye tarapita mano vachane hitartha. Manye tarapita mano vachane hitartha. Pranam punati sakulana tupuri manaha. If a Brahman has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a brahmana because a devotee can purify his whole family, whereas a so-called brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. So in India we have the brahmanas. I think here in Australia you don't have such things. But in India, when I came to India first in 1972, sometimes some of the brahmanas did not accept us as devotees, because we were from the Western countries. They say, no, this is only for Indians. This is only for Brahmanas. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that a Brahmana is not by birth, but it is by qualification. It is the work you do, and also not only the work you do, but your qualities. If you have the qualities of truthfulness, simplicity, studying the scriptures, then you are a brahmana. These are the qualities of a brahmana. So when I was in India, I had one. I was living in Goa for some years, and I was driving a moped. And when I would go to get my moped fixed, the person who was fixing my motorcycle had a brahman thread on. He was a brahmana. Now a brahmana is supposed to be very, very clean, but this person had grease from head to foot. So he was not really doing the work of a brahmana at all. And so, but still people sometimes would consider him like that just by birth. So it's not that by birth, if your father is a doctor, doesn't mean you're a doctor, because you're born of a father who's a doctor. You have to go to school, you have to learn, you have to get qualified, learn from another doctor. So same thing with spiritual life. You don't automatically become a born brahmana. You have to go through the process of purification, and you have to study, you have to learn, and then you become qualified and develop the good qualities as well. So I would like to read you a little story here. Here it says that a devotee, no matter who he is, what his birth is, he can save his whole family. What does that mean, he can save his whole family? It means that all your ancestors before you, like three generations, and all the people who come after you, like three generations, you can save them. Now, if you're a really pure devotee, you can save 100 generations. You don't even know, even four generations, who they were. But you can save them by just becoming a devotee of Krishna. And you can save 100 generations who come after you too. Now suppose you're not a pure devotee, you're just but if you're a preacher, you can teach. You can save 14 generations behind and 14 generations after. And suppose you're just starting, you're just somebody new, how can you help your family, in case you're worried about your family, because in this age nobody cares about their family, but we do worry, some of us. And how can you help your family, a new devotee, 3 generations before? That means your father, mother, your grandfather, grandmother, all your uncles and aunts, they all get liberation. And your children and your grandchildren, they also get. If you just try to be a devotee, if you just chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, that will be helpful. So I'd like to read you a little story just to show how this has happened with one of our devotees, how he saved his mother. And this devotee, of course, he's a could be in the category of, he's probably in the category of a pure devotee, or at least a middle devotee. His name is Indradyumna Swami. He's one of our gurus, so I'm sure he's a pure devotee. And but he had his mother, she was not interested in spiritual life. He said, I tried my best to help my own mother, but unfortunately she never showed the slightest interest in religion. I once asked her if she believed in God, and she replied, something maybe out there. Whenever I visited her, we would often debate the existence of the soul, life after death, karma, and similar topics. Throughout the years, I continued cultivating that little something in her heart by sending her Srila Prabhupada's books, which invariably ended up in a pile at the back of her garage, collecting grease and dust. And this devotee needs out here. This one, yeah. This one, yeah. Oh, okay. A few years ago, she telephoned me late one night. It was an unusual hour to call, and I was surprised to hear from her. She began the conversation asking if I would take her to Vrindavan, India. I was shocked. I thought, Mother wants to go to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna's birth. What is this? How does she even know what Vrindavan is? But she insisted and wanted to know when we could go. Although intrigued at the prospect of taking my mother to Vrindavan, because it was late and I was very tired, I told her I'll call her back early the next morning and we could discuss the matter in detail. I woke up refreshed the next day and after my shower excitedly dialed her phone number. My brother answered. I said, Pete, can I speak to Mom? There was a prolonged silence and I sensed something was wrong. Finally, his voice choked with emotion. He replied, Mom passed away last night. I was stunned. What happened? I asked. I talked to Mom only last night. I know, he said. She'd been battling cancer for 6 months. She didn't want to tell you. Collecting myself, I said, cancer. Did she say anything at the end? Yes, she did, he replied. She said, don't lament for me. I'm not this body. I'm eternal spirit soul. I'll never die. I'm going to Krishna. With those words on her lips, she passed away. I couldn't believe it. My mother, the intellectual who never went to church, who never inquired about God, debated his very existence, was going to Krishna. I asked my brother, but how is it possible Mom said those things at death? He replied, when Mom learned she had cancer and was going to die, a strange transformation came over her. She became restless and unsettled. She began asking about you, wanting to know where you were and what you were doing. She had an intense desire to meet with you, to speak with you. But when I suggested calling you, she'd always say, no, don't bother him now, we'll contact him later. One morning I went out to the garage to empty the garbage, and I found her going through all those books you had sent her during the past 25 years. She looked up at me and asked me to carry them into the house. That afternoon, she carefully dusted them off. For the last 5 months, she just sat in her rocking chair reading those books. Sometimes she'd underline a certain passage or quote that had particular relevance or importance to her. She also contacted your tape ministry in London and ordered all your lecture tapes. She'd listen to them in her headphones, rocking back and forth in her armchair, looking at your picture, which she kept on the table nearby. She must have listened to at least 3 a day. Gradually, her condition deteriorated, but she wasn't afraid. I think there was something in those books that made her fearless. Then last night, she sensed she was going to die. She told me to call you. Her last request was that you take her to a place called Vrindavan. I put the phone down and cried, not out of mundane sentiment or attachment, but in appreciation that my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, had extended his mercy to my mother and delivered her from material existence. I went home for the memorial service and arranged her estate. Just before I was leaving to return to Europe, my brother and sister approached me, asked what they should do with her ashes. Remembering my last conversation with her, I smiled and took the ashes with me. Several weeks later, one of my disciples placed them in the sacred waters of Jamuna River in Vrindavan, India. I had fulfilled my mother's last request to me, a request that I pray will also be on my lips the day I leave this world. So a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness, he can deliver his parents, his grandparents, and his children from death. Death means they will not have take birth and death again, but go to the spiritual realm, back to Godhead. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that it's not your material qualification that matters. It's not that you know a lot, or you're intelligent, or that you're born in a high family, or you're a Brahmin. No, it's your devotion that counts. And if you're a devotee, then you can save not only yourself, but your whole family. Whereas you're not a devotee, you may be born in this very high Brahminical family, you can't even save yourself, what to speak of your family. So that is his prayer that we just heard. Now I'll go on to a few more prayers, and you do not have anything until verse 16, so I'll just read them for you. Actually, I'll have to summarize them because we don't have so much time. But this, as we're studying on this chart here, we've got verse 9 and 10. They're showing confidence that even if you feel like you have no qualification, you can approach the Lord. Now verses 11 and 12 express the same feeling. In verse 11, Prahlad says, the Lord is fully satisfied. So when you offer him something, the offering is for your benefit, the benefit of the devotee. He doesn't need our service. Just like when you decorate your face, then the reflection of your face in the mirror is decorated. So if we decorate Radha Govardhan Thari very nicely, we give them nice flowers, we become decorated inside. Our heart becomes beautiful. And our spiritual body becomes decorated when we decorate the deities. So this is the kind of decoration we want. And verse 12 is again showing confidence. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glory. So he's encouraging us that we should pray to the Lord. We should chant Hare Krishna. And there is no check. And sometimes in India they say, well, first you have to be born. You leave this body, then you'll be born in a Brahmin family, and then you can worship the Lord, and then you can pray, and then you can chant mantras. But Prabhupada was so magnanimous. He took the secret Vedas, he took Bhagavatam, he took it to the West, and he freely distributed the holy name and the prayers, and we are all, now our Brahmanas are all Westerners, Australians, and different parts of the world, and they're worshipping the deity so beautifully. So when you chant Hare Krishna, you may not see that your external body is changing, but your subtle body inside is changing with every mantra. And they have proven this actually with experiments on sound. If you say like Om, then they see a beautiful pattern in the molecules. And if you say hateful words, then you see very terrible distorting patterns in different molecules. They studied water. Some scientists, actually not devotees, scientists have studied. So when you chant the holy name, then you develop a very beautiful spiritual body within. Your body's changing. And so Prabhupada said, yes, your body is changing, but it's your subtle body that's changing. This body also changes if you eat prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. Becomes very purified. So this is why we should be confident that we can actually take up this process. It's not difficult to approach the Lord, and we can pray to Him just by chanting Hare Krishna. Now verses 13 and 14, he's trying to pacify the Lord, that, oh my Lord, please give up your anger. You have come for the devotees. Here are all your devotees, all these demigods. They are not like my father. They are not like me. So you should give up your anger. Now everyone is happy when a scorpion or a snake is killed. So everyone is happy that my father has killed, because he was torturing and giving trouble to everyone in the universe. So why is someone happy if a snake is killed or a scorpion? Because a snake will bite somebody just for no reason. Even you don't disturb the snake, it will bite you. In India, we know that. If you're walking in a line through a field and there's a snake, so the first person will disturb the snake. The second person will make the snake will get angry, and the third person will get bit, third person in line. So you have to be really careful when you're walking in the field. The snakes, they just bite for no reason. You didn't do anything to them, but they just bite. So there are people like that, and they're more dangerous than snakes. And Prahlad's father was like that. He was such a snake. Because the snakes you can charm by mantras. There's these snake charmers in India, and they sing some beautiful melody, or they chant mantras, and the snake is charmed. One of my friends, she was out distributing books in India, in one village, and there was a snake charmer across from her, and he was envious of her because she took his spot where he usually sits, and she was selling books. So she wouldn't move, so he got angry, and he sent a snake to bite her. And she couldn't... her leg swelled up. She didn't die, but her leg got all swollen, and medicine wasn't working. So then finally in the next village, she found another snake charmer. And that snake charmer chanted mantras, and the poison came out, and she was okay. So they know how to do that. Even if you get bit by a scorpion, then there are these snake charmers who know mantras who can protect you from the poison, take the poison out. So these snakes are not so dangerous as people who are like snakes. What is an example of people who are like snakes? When I was reading in the news, I think last year it was, when I was traveling in Greece, overnight the government took 10% out of everyone's bank account, because the government had no money. They just went to your bank account and took out 10%, whoever had a bank account. So this is the activity of snakes. Snake-like people. So they're more dangerous. And so here this verse is expressing that, yes, everyone is happy because of the death of my father. Now verse 15 shows how Prahlad is fearless. He says, my Lord, I'm not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. So he was not afraid. He was a small boy, and there was this huge lion, incarnation of the Lord, but Prahlad was not afraid. And the devotee is not afraid. In Mayapur, we have this deity of Nrsingadev, who looks very, very ferocious. But when we go in front of the deity, we feel protected, actually. We feel like he's our father, and he's protecting us. So Prahlad saw him face to face, and he was not afraid. But in verse 16, which we all have, he does express some fear of something. So what could he be afraid of? Although he's not afraid of this fearsome form of the lion, what is he afraid of? So we will chant this verse together. You have verse 16 on your paper, and we will chant it. Chastasmyaham kripanavatsanadu sahagra. Chastasmyaham kripanavatsanadu sahagra. Sansara chakra karanat prasatam pranita
Sansara chakra karanaka satam panita Bodha sakarma birushottama tenkrimulam Sokarma birushottama tenkrimulam Pritta pavarga sharanam hayase kadanu Pritta pavarga sharanam hayase kadanu O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. And therefore, I'm very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? So he's afraid of the association of this world, which leads you to go away from Krishna. So he says, I'm afraid of samsara chakra. That means birth and death, again and again, going through death. That's what he's afraid of. When Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he was lecturing and he was saying that perhaps in your next life you can become a dog. So one student raised his hand and said, well, what's wrong if I become a dog? So what's wrong is that it is a fall down from human life. You become a dog, and then you have to go through so many lives as dogs, and then you may get promoted to another form of life, a lion in the jungle, or a giraffe, or a donkey, and carry so many loads of clothes in India. Or you may become, or carry loads of bricks in India, or a camel who also carries loads of people and things. In India we have camel carts, you may become an elephant. You may have to go through so many species where you don't have the intelligence to make a solution to the problems of life. That's what's wrong to become a dog. So this is a symptom of the kind of education that we get in the schools that people are not afraid of becoming dogs or cats or such things, that they don't realize a human life is a gift. It is a special gift that you've been given an opportunity to get out of this world and go to the spiritual world. Now, the dogs can't do this. The cats can't. They can't ask, why am I suffering? They cannot ask this question. So Prahlad is afraid of association of people who want to become dogs, or who want to drink, or who want to have all the, what you see on the billboards all over the world, all this drinking and smoking and whatever. They're afraid to have the association of people like that. So therefore, that is his fear. He wants to always associate with devotees. So now another part of this prayer, this verse 16, he's saying, when will you call me, Lord? When you call me to the spiritual world, to your lotus feet? So actually, Krishna is calling all of us in Bhagavad Gita. How many of you have read Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, you have read, you've heard, and you've heard about it. So in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse where Krishna is calling us. Does anybody know what that verse is? Those of you who have read Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse where he's calling us. It's the most special verse in Bhagavad Gita. And he says, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Surrender to me means he's calling us. Come to me. Please come to me. And I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. So that's Krishna's calling us. Prahlad is saying, when will the Lord call me to his lotus feet? So I have a little homework for all of you. You don't have to write anything, but we have the next class on Saturday. And your homework will be to watch tomorrow and the next day, you've got 2 days, to see how is the Lord calling me? How is Krishna calling me today? So try to hear the call of Krishna tomorrow and the next day. And just so you get an idea, I want to ask you right now, has anyone heard Krishna calling you in some way or other? So we can give ideas to everyone how to hear the call or what we should listen for. Anybody have some suggestions? What would be the call of Krishna? Yes? Okay, if a devotee asks you to do some service, okay, that's the call of Krishna. Any other
ways we could say that Krishna is calling us. Yes? Okay, when they play the song in the morning at 7 o'clock, Krishna is calling us to come and see him beautifully in his new dress, beautifully decorated. All dressed up in his new clothes and with garlands, Krishna is calling us. Yes? Prasadam. Okay, everybody likes to eat. So that may be the call that you hear. When you look at your watch and you think, oh yes, now it's 1:30. Krishna is calling me up here to enjoy with him in his form of food, of prasadam, which is another form of Krishna. There's one form that we can see, one form we can taste also. One form of Krishna that we taste, and that's prasadam. And the holy name we can hear. These are all forms of Krishna calling us. Yes? What?
Mm. Material world,
yeah, okay. When things don't go right in the material world. Yeah, when you get kicked by the material energy, then you hear the call of Krishna. Yeah, it happens. It happens. I think most of us have had that kick from the material world. Yes, we get kicked and then, oh yes, Krishna's calling me. Krishna's calling me. Yeah, it's a difficult place. There's a struggle for existence going on in this world. And all of us have to face that struggle. But if you hear the call of Krishna, then he will protect you from that struggle for existence. Okay, so let's go on to a few more verses. We don't have so much time. We only have 1 hour, so I'll do what I can. And we'll continue on Saturday. So I'll read you verse 17. And 18, and then 19, we'll again sing together. This is 17, and 17 is, so 14 and, 13 and 14 were pacification, 15 was how he's fearless, 16, this one, how he is afraid of Maya. Now 17, 18, 19 are about remedies in this world for the struggle of existence, and actually, they're worse than the disease. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of... Oh, sorry, that's the one I just read. O Great One, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. So I have that experience by going to the doctor that the medicine is worse than the cure. I always get a reaction from antibiotics. So then I suffer more from the medicine, and then I need another medicine to counteract the medicine. So oftentimes the remedies of this world create more problems. And there was one of my friends, my godbrother, his name's Buddy Narayan, and he was saying, he was giving a class, better spend your time serving Krishna and trying to improve your standard of living. And the real remedy is to engage in service. So his father, when he was 77 years old, he had a retirement party in his business. And he called his son, who was a devotee, to come to the party for him. And he was given a speech that, yes, I have served, now I am 77 years old, and I am retiring after a whole life's hard work in this company. But my son here, he is most intelligent because he retired at the age of 17 and joined the Hare Krishna movement. So we retire from material life at a young age, and yes, and we save ourselves a lot of trouble. Here, there's also austerity, there's also trouble, but it's for a spiritual purpose. You work hard your whole life, and then you die, and what can you take with you? Can't take any of it with you. We work hard for Krishna our whole life, and we take everything with us. We take all of our devotional service. In our next life, we don't have to take birth again. And so this is what Prahlad is talking about in verse 18. He says, by engaging in your transcendental loving service and association of devotees who are liberated souls, I shall become completely uncontaminated by association of the modes of nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship who are so dear to me. And I'll be able to cross the ocean of nations. So he has, this is the remedy, is devotional service to Krishna. In verse 19, we will chant together again about how the remedies cannot save us. Verse 19. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro neshinka. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro neshinka. Nardasya chakadamaran vatimachato na. Tasya chakadamaran vatimachato na. Taptasya tat prativirya iham jasheshtas. Taptasya tat prativirya iham jasheshtas. Tavat vipotanupitam tarupekshitanam. Tavat vipotanupitam tarupekshitanam. My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So without Krishna, these material remedies will not help us. So I would like to share with you a story about Alexander the Great. Have heard about this person, Alexander the Great? He was a general who conquered a lot of the world. He was from Greece. He even went to India, and he conquered part of India. But when he was on his deathbed, he called his generals and he said, I have three wishes after I die. Number one, the best doctors should carry my coffin. Number two, all my money, my wealth, should be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. Number three, my hand should be let loose outside the coffin, hanging for all to see. Now, why did he have these three wishes? And he gave the reason too. The first one was, let the best doctors carry my coffin. Why did he have that wish? Who can say?
You can see they don't have the power to keep people alive.
That's right. The doctors cannot save you from death. Death will come. Even the best doctors in the world cannot stop your death when it's time for you to die. So that was his first wish. The second wish, I want the road to be covered with my treasure. All of the money, all the wealth, all my jewels and gold should be just scattered on the road on my way to the cemetery, on the procession. So why did he have that wish? Because he can't take it with you. That's right. He says everybody sees material wealth acquired on earth must stay on earth. And number three, I want my hands to swing open outside the coffin while I'm being carried to the cemetery. Why is that? You come into the world empty-handed and you leave empty-handed. So he was giving lessons on his deathbed. And he said, "As we leave this world empty-handed after the most precious treasure of all is exhausted." And that is one word. What's the most precious treasure that we have? That he realized, what was the most precious thing we have? It's a word, one word. And that is time. Our time is the most valuable thing. How we use our time, that will determine our next birth or our next trip to the spiritual world. That will determine where we go. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this prayer, this verse 19, our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna conscious movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Lord. So, you may say, what, you know, but our doctors, they're very advanced. Srila Prabhupada said, if Krishna says no, then the medicine won't help you. And the Ayurvedic medicine in India, along with taking your medicine, you have to worship Vishnu. It goes along together. So, yes, you have to say the Vishnu mantras, and then you will be cured. So this is, there's two kinds of medicine. There's, I mean, not only two, there's so many kinds of medicine, but there's this natural Ayurvedic, and then there's the allopathic Western. So without, even the Western medicine, without the mercy of the Lord, then we cannot be cured. I think one, again, it was Sachinandan Swami. He was deathly ill one time, and the doctor said that now we've done everything we can do for you. Tonight we'll determine whether you live or die. So all you can do is pray to your Lord, because we've done whatever we can. So yes, there are limitations in this. And this prayer of Prahlad is revealing what are these limitations. That without the mercy of the Lord, nothing can be successful, and our life cannot be successful. So we have a few minutes left before Arti. If anybody has questions, your homework is to listen for the call of Krishna and see how Krishna is calling you the next 2 days till Saturday at 5:30 when our next class starts. So any questions before the Arti begins? Okay, if not, then Jack, thank you for coming. Our glories to Prabhupada, and please give your papers back. We will give them out again at the next class. Hare Krishna.